Our scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. I'm reading from the American Standard Version, vintage 1901. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who hath unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
With the reading of this text, we note that there is indeed a great day coming, a day when we will be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, and receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether they be good or bad. In verse 11 of this text, the writer says, knowing therefore the fear, the King James translation uses the word terror, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In the great day, the day of all days, the day of judgment, every responsible individual will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that he has done in the body. Beyond that experience lies a never-ending eternity, an eternity of everlasting peace or of everlasting punishment. In our study this morning, we want to talk about heaven or hell, and I want to approach this from the standpoint of what hell is and what it means to those of us who strive to serve the Lord, and especially to those who are not yet Christians and those who seek not to serve the Lord. I believe that sober and very solemn preaching about the existence of heaven and hell from the Word of God should serve us as a slap in the face to help us to reflect upon things that are serious. As the writer says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that we need to learn to fear God and to keep His commandments. The Jews, or Jesus rather, asked the Pharisees the question in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 33, how shall ye escape the judgment of hell? Obviously, in their practice, there was no way for them to escape as they continued to live as they did. Yet, these were not wicked individuals. They were not immoral as we think of them. They were not commonly in the world as we define wickedness. Yet, they were guilty of sin. There was no way for them to escape as they continued to live as they did. These people were very religious people, often standing up so straight that they leaned over backwards. They were very moral people, upright, in many respects good citizens, good religious people, who were asked the question, how shall ye escape the judgment of hell? Now that's a serious and sobering question asked to what we might commonly think of as good people. The Bible teaches us of the certainty of hell. In Matthew the 5th chapter and in verse 22, Jesus said, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. In this context, Jesus was talking about those who speak disparagingly of another. Those who say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell. In verses 29 of this same chapter through verse 30, Jesus said, and if thy right eye causeth thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand causeth thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee
that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body be cast into hell. Jesus spoke of the certainty of such a place that the Bible calls hell. In Matthew the 10th chapter and in verse 28, Jesus said, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is real, beloved. It's not something that is fictitious. It is not something that is just made up to scare us. The Apostle Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hell is a very real place. In Matthew the 13th chapter and in verses 41 and 42, the Lord said, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather them," or gather out of his kingdom, "all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." In Matthew the 13th chapter, Jesus said that the angels will gather out of his kingdom. That indicates that there are some in the kingdom of the Lord who will not go to heaven. There are some who in the kingdom are in the kingdom of the Lord that will be eternally lost. In the great judgment scene presented for us in Matthew the 25th chapter, and in verse 31, Jesus said, "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Picking up the reading in verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat." We're going to discuss those verses in just a moment. But beginning at verse 46, he said, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus, in describing the great judgment scene, described a real place. He did not describe a fictionary place, but a place that is real for those who have not assumed the responsibilities that are designed for them to assume. The apostles also taught that there is a place called hell. In the text that we read a moment ago, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, the writer says, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The same apostle, writing to those in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, spoke of those who obeyed not the gospel. And he said, beginning in verse 7, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Indeed, beloved, there is a real place called hell. In Revelation the 14th chapter and in verse 11, John writes, "And the smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast and his image, and who receiveth the mark of his name." Further in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21 and in verse 8, John writes, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, it would not serve our purposes this morning to talk about what hell is without discussing what it is like. The Bible tells us very graphically what hell is like. In Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 10, it tells us, "They shall be tormented day and night forever." Hell is a real place where there will be no rest. Hell is a place that is described as everlasting. Everlasting what? In Romans chapter 2 and in verses 8 and 9, the writer says, "There shall be indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. The writer goes on in the 11th verse and points out that there is no respect of persons with God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what prestige or place in life that you have. Hell is described as a place of punishment. Hell is also described as a place of tormenting appetite and desire. I understand that in Luke the 16th chapter, concerning the rich man and Lazarus, that the writer is describing the place of unseen spirits, the place that we go when we depart from this physical body and await the judgment. But the characteristics of that awful place are also characteristics of this place called hell. In Luke the 16th chapter, reading beginning in verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And in Hades he lifted up," or the rich man also died and was buried, "and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." There is an attribute of this life that we see carried over to a place of torment, and that is the ability to see those who are saved. This text tells us that the rich man saw Lazarus comforted in Abraham's bosom. It also tells us that he desired even a drop of water to cool his tongue, he said, "for I am in anguish in this flame." He described it as a horrible, terrible place. In verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art in anguish." There was no help for this rich man. There was no peace for this rich man. There was no comfort to be offered to this rich man. It was a place of punishment, torment, appetite and desire that would not be satisfied. Furthermore, we learn that hell is described as a place of separation. In 2 Thessalonians, as we read in chapter 1 and in verse 9, the Apostle Paul, writing, said, "Who shall suffer punishment, even in eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might." The writer describes a place where we will be forever separated from the presence of God. The wicked shall be punished from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Having read from Luke the 16th chapter, we also learn that memories can be an awful source of torment. In Luke the 16th chapter, Abraham called upon the rich man and said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art in anguish." This rich man was in a place where he could remember. In Matthew the 25th chapter and in verse 30, hell is also described as a place where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One gnashes their teeth when they're in anguish, when they're in pain. Hell is described as such a place where one's teeth grind together in memory and remorse of mind and in regret. Hell is also described as a place of darkness. In Matthew the 25th chapter and in verse 30, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." Hell is not a desirable place, but indeed it is a very real place, described as a place of anguish and darkness. Hell is also described in Scripture as a place of unquenchable fire. In Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8, it describes the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. In Mark chapter 9 and in verse 43, we learn that it is a place where the fire is not quenched. As we think about the anguish of such an awful place as hell, it is a place that does not cease. It is a place where death continues. Someone has once said that hell is a place where everyone there is trying to die and no one will be able to get the job done. What an awful place hell is described. In Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8, once again the writer says, Revelation 21 verse 8, before the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There will be no escape, the writer describes, from the awfulness that characterizes hell. Hell is also described as a place without hope. In Luke, the 16th chapter, once again, if you'll notice, beginning in verse 26, once again in the setting of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, in verse 26. The writer describes, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. In this horrible place of punishment and torment, it is a place of sorrow and despair. It is a place without hope. You know, there are many circumstances that we can endure if we can only see the light at the end of the tunnel, if we can realize that there is some kind of relief. But hell will not be that kind of place. Hell will be a place where there is no hope. Now, we might raise the question, who is going to such an awful place that we've described as hell? Well, hell is described as a place where the devil and his angels will be. If you'll turn in your Bibles once again to the great judgment scene, in Matthew the 25th chapter, looking in verse 41, the writer says, then shall he also say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's noteworthy to me that hell is not described as a place that is prepared for you and me. It is prepared for the devil and his angels. However, if we follow him, that will be the eternal destiny that we will endure. The devil and his angels will be there. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. Again, John writes in verse 7, beginning, Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. He says, and when the 1,000 years is finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints round about, and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The place that is called hell is a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. They will be there. In 1st or 2nd Peter it is, chapter 2 in verse 4, the apostle Peter said, for if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with 7 others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. Picking up the reading in verse 9, and the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of defilement and despise dominions. And he begins to discuss further the characteristics of these that will be in this place called hell. God spared not angels, but cast them down into hell, and committed them to pits of darkness. Jude, the parallel of 2 Peter, in verse 6 describes, Jude said, and angels that are kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. a pitiful, awful place that is described as this place called hell, where the devil and his angels will be. The Bible tells us that those who are wicked will be there. In Psalms chapter 9 and in verse 17, the text tells us the wicked shall be turned back unto Sheol, even all the nations that forget God. Those who are wicked will be there. We read a moment ago from Revelation 21. As we describe this awful place, we must note those who will be present there. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, the text tells us, will be in this awful place called hell. Those who do not obey the gospel, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verses 7 through verse 9, those who obey not the gospel will be in this awful place called hell. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, as we're going to discuss in our Sunday morning Bible class, in Romans chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, said, but unto them that are factious, and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What an awful place, described as hell, where those who do not obey the gospel will be present, where those who have obeyed the gospel and have become unfaithful will be. Those who are indifferent to the responsibilities and duties that God has imposed upon us. In the great judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, we notice, beginning in verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, ye did it unto me. And then shall he also say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Hebrew writer paints an awful picture of those who have known the truth and have fallen away. In Hebrews chapter 6, reading beginning in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 beginning. He says, for as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. The writer is very deliberate in describing those who have experienced the blessings of God in Christ and then have fallen away. Those who have crucified unto themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In the Hebrew writer, in the Hebrew letter further, in the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 26, Terry preached on this in the Wednesday night invitation and talked about willful sin. In verse 26 he says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Knowing the truth and knowing that Jesus died once for all, understanding that there will be no further sacrifice, no further blessings that God can offer from heaven. He says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And then he illustrates the point. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy place, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those who have obeyed the gospel and those who have become unfaithful in their relationship to God. The Apostle Peter says, it was better for them never to have known the way of truth than knowing it to turn back from it. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter writes, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He says, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Those who are unfaithful to the Lord, these will be those who are in this awful place called hell. Now one can be happy in very unpleasant surroundings, knowing that he has pleasant companionship. We're going to talk about that in our study this evening. But what a miserable place hell is, because we'll be surrounded with those who are the worst who have ever lived. We'll be surrounded by the devil and his angels. Those who are wicked, those who have not obeyed the gospel, those who are unfaithful in their relationship to God, those who have obeyed the gospel and are no longer what they ought to be, as we have on the board, those who are called apostates. Now, by way of contrast, I doubt that the full story of the beauty and glory of heaven can be told against the backdrop of against an awful place that is called hell. We're going to, in our study tonight, talk about the blessings of heaven and the glory that is there, and note that heaven is very real. We'll talk about what heaven is like. We'll talk about who is there. And we'll talk about the glory and the blessings that are afforded us in heaven. But perhaps there's one or more in the audience this morning who's been made to understand the terror of that awful place called hell. I remember many years ago, on June the 9th, 1969, was the day that I understood the need to obey the gospel. One of the things that stood out in my mind was the fear of hell. I did not want to be lost. Hell is a motivating factor in the gospel, as the Apostle Paul reiterated. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hell is an awful place. Often we think of motives to obey the gospel as being the love of God. Indeed it is. Sometimes we think of a motive to obey the gospel as the hope of heaven. Indeed it is. But if we neglect to think about the terror of hell, we have forgotten the things that the Apostle Paul reminds us of, and the Apostle recognized as a legitimate motive to obey the gospel of Christ. If you're in the audience this morning, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, He is in fact the Son of the living God, it's your desire to turn from those things that you know and understand to be wrong, in repentance before God, motivated as it were by godly sorrow, that is, that the things you've done have been an offense unto the Almighty God. If it's your desire this morning to, before this good audience, to confess your faith that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, you will either confess Him now or you will confess Him before God in that last day. But you will confess Him, that He is the Christ, unto the glory of God the Father. If you choose to do that now, would you not then be baptized into Christ, raised to walk a new life in Christ, that you might enjoy the blessings of heaven after a while? Now perhaps you've done the things that you know you should do in order to become a Christian, but somewhere along the way you've neglected your duties and your responsibilities before the great God of heaven. You understand the consequences of that. Why would you remain in that condition any longer, when you have time and opportunity even this morning to make your soul right by confessing those things, having repented of them, and asking God's forgiveness? If you be subject to the invitation this morning, make that known while together we stand and sing this song.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that day to come?
Don't forget that Terry and I would like to meet with the men of the congregation in the back here for just a few minutes after services this morning. We have a matter of great importance that we'd like to discuss with you. It won't take very long, but it's important that we talk with you about it.